Good morning. Today's daf ma b'kamas samach beis. Mirtzah Hashem. This morning we're going to be finishing the sixth parak of the Masechta, opening up the seventh parak. We are in the bottom of samach alpha and beis. We're going to begin with the words Tana Rabbanan, last four lines. We are going over basic machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Machlokas we alluded to numerous times here in the Masechta, but the Mishnah in yesterday's daf is the primary source. That is that if you make a fire, fire spreads, goes into other people's property, damages other people's property, you have to pay for all those damages. Torah gives four different examples of items that your fire burnt, your chayv basically for everything. Afilu balei koma, we learned earlier in the perek. And that is even for livestock, you're going to be chayv. That's a Rashi's interpretation. Anyway, so you're going to be chayv for the fire that burns. But let's say it's a pile of grain, and let's say something is hidden underneath. So Taman Beish, are going to be chayv by Taman Beish? Or we have a basic machlokus amongst the Tanaim, whether or not there's a chiv of Taman Beish. According to Rav Yehuda, you're chayv on Taman Beish. Anything that was concealed and hidden by the fire, you're going to be chayv lefi Rav Yehuda. And the Chachamim say, no, Chachamim say, you're potter by Taman Beish. This machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim can go as far back as David HaMelech. You remember just a couple days ago. So David HaMelech had a back and forth with his Giborim, in terms of a halachic matter. It was really unclear in the psukim what exactly the matter was. But nevertheless, one of the interpretations of the Gemara, there were three in total, but one of them is that they were arguing about Taman Beish. He wanted to know what the halacha is. Are you chayv in Taman Beish or are you potter by Taman Beish? Good. Now, what are the limits of Taman Beish? So that's what we discussed at the end of yesterday's daf. So let's say you burn somebody's house down. Rachmanis. Let's say you burn somebody's house down. So the furniture inside, is that Taman Beish? So it's Mistaber, and it it's the halacha. No, that's not Taman Beish. In other words, the furnishings of the home is not considered something which is hidden and concealed. Yes, it's true. The person standing outside the house cannot see the furnishings. But in other words, that's not Taman. That's not something which is hidden inside. Everybody understands that a house is furnished. Good. So that clearly is not going to fall into the category of Taman Beish. That's a point that we made already yesterday. What about if, let's say, you start a fire on your property, it spreads over into somebody else's property. So that is what's called bishalo. You start the fire in your property. But let's say you started the fire in your neighbor's property and it burned his haystack. Are we there going to have the patur of Taman Beish? So if you remember yesterday's daf, that was a machlokas between Rav Kahana and Rava. Lefishitas Rav Kahana. According to Rav Kahana, if I start a fire in my neighbor's property and it burns his haystack, and underneath the haystack there are hidden items, according to Rav Kahana, everybody will agree that you're going to be chayv on the tumen. Anything that was hidden and concealed under that haystack, you're going to be chayv for. So why? So Rav Kahana didn't say it, but in other words, but ostensibly it's the pshat of Rav Kahana is because over there, your mamash a mazik biyadayim. In other words, you went over into your neighbor's property. You started the fire there. It was in starting your property. So you're more of a mazik biyadayim. Every ish is mazik biyadayim, meaning you're going to be chayv in every ish. But even within that, so there are levels and gradations. And so when you go into your neighbor's property, you're a mazik biyadayim, you're going to be chayv even on that which is concealed underneath. That's Rav Kahana. But according to Rava, this is where we're going to start this morning. So Lefishi does Rava, no. In other words, according to Rava, if you started the fire in your property and spread it to somebody else's property, again, the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says you're going to be chayv, and the Chachamim says you're going to be potter and Taman Beish. However, according to Rava, if you start the fire in your neighbor's property, it's mavir b'stei acher, and under the haystack, what's hidden? Things that are expected over there, like shovels, rakes, right, and any tools for the farm. So according to Rava, there you are going to be chayev. But if it's something which was unexpected underneath over there, even though you were bir b'stei acher, even though you started the fire in your neighbor's property, you're going to be potter. Okay, so Rava's got a more modified viewpoint of there is a distinction between where you start the fire in your property versus in your neighbor's property. There is a distinction, but the distinction is more subtle than according to Rav Kahana. With all that stated, Tana Rabbanan, now, that was all Hachana. Just basic preparation, basic review of what we did yesterday. We're on the bottom, four lines from the bottom. Gemara quotes the Braisa, Malakas HaKadish Vayubo Kalim Vidalko. So here in the Braisa, good basics. And that is that you started a fire, and there were Kalim tucked away. So Rav Yehuda Amar Misham Kol Mashayah B'Soch V'Chacham Amarim. Ein mishal na gedish al khitim al gedish al sarim ve rowen malcolm hakelim ki iluhu male tvua. Okay, so here we go. I have a basic machlokes. Rav Yehuda and the Chacham, according to Rav Yehuda, you're chayv by the Taman, and according to the Chachamim, you're not going to be chayv on the Taman. However, in the Braisa, what about the airspace it occupied? In other words, it's a pile of grain. And tucked away under the pile of grain, there was another item that was there. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There was another item over there, so the halacha is that you are going to be pater on the item that was burned. But obviously what that item did is occupied airspace. So according to the Chachamim Rowin, okay, a concept that comes up time and again throughout Chas, and that is that what we're going to do is that we're going to envision as if that airspace is actually occupied by grain. And so you, the one who made the fire, are going to be chayiv, not only for the grain that you actually destroyed, but now what we're going to do is we're going to take whatever item that was there, remove it, in other words, not physically, obviously. In other words, look at it as if it's been removed and replace with grain. And so therefore, you're going to be paying for even that airspace that was occupied by the hidden item. Yeah. Good. Okay, Phil's asking, why should that make sense? Meaning you have a patur on Tamun. Good. In other words, so you pay for the grain that you actually destroyed. And over here, in other words, but we're going to now imagine grain that's there that you destroyed. Okay, so Phil's pushing and okay. I also spend time thinking about it. I don't have a formulation yet. Okay, but I really appreciate the question, and I myself am unsure. Ba'med var mamorim one samach beis amad aleph, and the Gemara now says, okay, so we just learned a basic machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chacham and the Braisa over here. Already what we saw back in the Mishnah, what's the Braisa adding? So look at the top. Now as we're on the samach beis amad aleph. Ba'med var mamorim b'malik b'soch shalov ha'ach v'dak b'soch shal chaveiro. Yeah, all this is true if you started the fire in your property and the fire spread to your neighbor's property. Ava malik b'soch shal chaveiro, divrei akum b'sham kol mashaya b'socho. But if you're malik b'soch shal chaveiro, so here are the Braisa, very clear. And that is that if you went into your neighbor's property, started the fire over there, so now you're going to be more chayev. Now when we say more chayev, so how much more chayev are we going to be? So again, go back to what we did at the end of yesterday's daf, according to Rav Kahana. So what that means is that you're going to be chayev for everything, meaning even things that are unexpected. And according to Rav, no, more modified. In other words, you're going to be chayev for that which is under the haystack, but in other words, things that are expected there. Okay, good. So go back to yesterday's daf. In other words, but you are going to be, we could say simply, you're going to be more chayev. Umod Rav Yehuda l'chachamim b'mashu makam l'chaver l'agdish gedish v'higdish v'hitmin she'em b'shalim ela d'meg dish b'vad. Now, according to Rav Yehuda, so you're going to be chayev on Taman Beish. Rav Yehuda is going to turn to the chachamim and say, look, I fundamentally disagree with you, but there are going to be places where we're in agreement. For example, Mashu makam l'chavero. So what I do is the following, and that is that I go to my friend and say, look, what you can do now is that you can use space on my property. And what you can do is you can pile grain on my property. And then what he does is he piled grains on my property, which I allowed him to do. And then what he did, tucked away under the grains, is he hid something underneath. In other words, he created someone. And then what happens was that I started a fire on my property and I burned down his grains. So Rav Yehuda will say in such a situation, so I'm going to admit to you that you don't pay for the Tumman. Now, why not? So Rashi points out over here, the lo kabel alav elan tiras de gedish. Because over here, look, this is my property. Now, granted, I give you permission, but what did I give you permission for? I only give you permission to put grain on my property. In other words, you want to store grain on my property? By all means. I'll be responsible. But I'm only going to be responsible for the grains, nothing else. Oh, okay. So Rav Yehuda will tell the Chachamim, under those circumstances, I agree. I agree with you. Now, Shem Misham Ela Demegidish Bavad. Now, Lahagdish Chitin Vehigdish Sarin. Sarin Vehigdish Chitin. Chitin Chipam Besarin. Sarin Vehipam Vechitin. And Misham Ela Demegid Sarin Bavad. And I'll give you four cases, rat-tat-tat, in which I also am going to agree with you that you only pay the Demei Sa'orin, nothing more than Demei Sa'orin. Case number one. So case number one is, L'hakdish chitin v'higdish sa'orin. I gave you permission to put weed on my field, to store weed on my field, and you thanked me. you store it, but what happens to me is that instead of storing wheat, you start barley. And again, I start a fire and I burn the barley down. I pay for barley. That one's easy. Sarin v'hikdash chitin. Case number two. Case number two is that I gave you permission, but you know what I gave you permission to do? You want to take your barley and put it in my field? I accept. I accept responsibility, liability for barley that you store on my field. Now, in case number two, what do? You go into my field, and what do you put over there? You put wheat on my field. Now, I didn't give you permission for wheat. I gave you permission for barley. Barley, by the way, I'm sure everyone knows this, is a cheaper commodity, right? The Gemara always assumes that barley is a cheaper commodity. So I gave you permission to put barley, not wheat. So there, because I only gave you permission for barley, not wheat, I'm only going to be paying for barley, not for wheat. That's case number two. Case number three. And chitin and chibam besorin. So the, I allowed you to put wheat on my property. And what you did is that you did put wheat on my property. However, the top layer, you layered with barley. Okay. Why people do this? In other words, they want to conceal, whatever the case is. So now I gave you permission to put wheat on my property. But now as I go in and do an inspection on my property, what do I see? So I see barley, because that's what you put as the top layer. So I'm thinking now, oh, it's a pile of barley. I didn't know there was wheat underneath. So under those circumstances, now if there's a fire on my property and it burns the grains down, I'm only paying for barley. Why? Because that's what I thought that was there. Now, in case number three, by the way, I did allow you to put wheat on my property. But then as I'm looking at it, I'm seeing barley. So basically in my head now, I basically created coverage for barley, nothing more than barley. It's basically. But again, but it's on my property. In other words, I gave you rishus to put on my property. Right. So there, Rav Yehuda is going to be moda. And finally, case number four, sa'orin v'chiba b'chitin. So here, in case number four, I gave you permission to put your grains on my property, but only barley. Now, what you do is you put barley on my property, but again, with top layer, for reasons I don't know why, so you top layer, you put in wheat. So now, what happens is that it, again, fire, and it burns, and now what am I going to be chai for? I'm going to be chai for barley. Because what I only accepted upon myself was shmir for barley. Okay, so four cases, rat-tat-tat, in terms of all four cases, Rav Yehuda will say to the Chachamim, I'm going to be moda. Because basically, we're on your turf. And when we're on your turf, so I'm going to operate on the terms of your property. Amarava. Hano saying, dinar zavli shavar mele izaribo shal kesefu. Okay, so what do? I give gold to a woman in order to watch, and I say to her, be careful, it's silver. Okay, so what do is that I'm going to ask a woman. Now, why woman over here? In other words, could be his wife. I don't think it is. I just think it's a woman. Okay, I'm not sure, but it could be anybody. Anyway, but the point is, however, is that I'm telling this person that what I would like over here is coverage. Yeah, right. He quotes an Imuk Yosef, could be a man as well. Okay, anyway. Sorry. Yeah, okay, right, fine. But again, but this is right. It's not Kesef Kedushin. You're just asking her to wash something. Anyway, I give it to her to wash and it's gold. But however, what I tell her is that it's silver. Okay, now. So basically now, because I tell her it's silver, now you're looking at it, by the way, and it's clearly gold. Okay? Years ago, I came to learn about this thing called white gold. It's just there to confuse us, right? The entire jewelry business does nothing more than just confuse me. Okay, so but it's good. It's good. That's part of its marketing strategy. So but meanwhile, I'm telling her that the Shmira level is basically silver, and so once again, because I'm telling her it's silver, so therefore, her degree of coverage is only going to go up to silver. Well, I say that it's not that simple. Now, he's kasa mishalem dinar zav misham damar la may have like gabe das kase. Now, if she goes ahead and she destroys it biyadayim, and again, now you understand why the Gemara is bringing this over here. This has nothing to do with fire and Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but it is connected because it's nezek biyadayim. In other words, over here, even though the coverage that she accepted upon herself was only to the degree of silver, but if it's gold and she destroys it and she mamish does it biyadayim, she's going to be chayv on gold. However, contrast, pashabo, Mishalem Mishal Kesef Damer Le Nitiras the Dekaspa Kabbalah Nitiras the Dava Lo Kviel Alai. But if it gets destroyed via negligence, so in other words, she doesn't actively destroy it, but she's responsible and she's liable, and it gets destroyed via her pshia, so she's going to be chayav. But there, it's capped, and it's going to be capped at silver, not gold. Why? Because that was the agreement. In other words, the terms of agreement, the terms of her coverage, when she accepted the item to watch it, is I'm going to be covering it and being responsible for it, but only vis-a-vis silver. She capped her coverage. And because she capped her coverage, so the coverage is not going to exceed it more than what she was makabo. But again, contrast that too, where she takes the item and is mazik biyadayim, so there she's chayv on gold. Correct. So Rav Mordechai says to Rav Ashi, you know, this halach of Rava, so that's interesting, but truth of the matter is that we knew it already. Why? Because chitin chipa besarin. Because again, what did I do? I gave you permission to go use my property as storage for your grain. I tell you that we're gonna be good with chitin. In other words, you can put wheat on my property. You could use my property for storage of wheat. And then what you do is that you put the wheat over there, but you put a top layer of barley. And I'm looking at it, and it looks like barley. And sarin v'chipa b'chitin, and mishalem el demei sarin bavad. Or the alternate case. But right now we're focusing on the first case, on where you actually put wheat, but again, it looks like barley. So over there, what do I pay? In other words, again, I made a fire on my property, it burned down the grain, and now what do I pay? I pay for barley. Why? Because that was a cap of my coverage. So ama amrale nitirasa de sari kabbalai hachadami amrale nitirasa de dahava lo kabbalai. So over here, when I'm telling you that I'm not covering more than barley, so that means then that my coverage is only going to go up to barley and will not go above barley. It was wheat that was burnt, okay, but that was my coverage. I only told you that I'm covering via barley, not wheat. Okay, so this idea of capping coverage, so it's expressed in a number of different ways. I'm Rav Shamas Milta le Rav Yehuda v'lo yadina mayhi. Okay, so Rav says the following, and that is that we had a discussion within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Again, we know passing like Rav Yehuda, but it doesn't matter. In other words, it's a chelik of Torah, and we were discussing the sheet of Rav Yehuda that Yochayv and Taman Beish. But Rav admits, however, right? I only somewhere in my memory, I remember the conversation. I don't remember what we actually said. So I'm Shmuel v'lo yada abba my shmiele. So Shmuel says, I find that hard to imagine. Meaning Abba is the name of Rav. Alternatively, it could be a term of reverence that Shmuel used in terms of describing Rav. Either way, he says, I can't imagine that Rav didn't remember. L'Rabbi Yehuda de Mechayev al Niske Taman Be'esh Asu Takanas Nigzal Be'isha. So here's the conversation. Here's the discussion. Okay, Takanas Nigzal. First of all, just a quick intro to Takanas Nigzal. We're going to be talking about this later in the Masechta, and in Masechta Shavuos also we discussed this. And that is the idea that I'm a victim of theft, and somebody stole something from me, and now he wants to do tshuva, and he wants to pay me back for the item. Now, the best thing to do is Heishif as Exela, return this item that he stole. He doesn't have it. Now, what was it and what was his value? What the Chachamim afforded me to do, the victim, is go to court, make a shvua, identifying exactly what it was, and as long as I made a shvua in court, he's going to be liable to pay for whatever I say that it was, and its value. Okay, and when you think about it, makes sense. Well, yes and no. Meaning, on one hand, right? I'm making a shvua and I'm extracting money. Now, that's unusual, right? The vast majority of the time, you're making a shvua so that you don't pay. Over here, one of the exceptional cases, there are a couple. One of the exceptional cases where I make a shvua and I collect, that already is exceptional. And then, obviously, it's exceptional because what I'm doing is I'm taking money away from somebody else. I'm extracting money. And normally, what do I need when I'm extracting money? I need raya. I need a proof. Over here, I don't have proof. It's just a claim that I'm making. Now, I say that, but at the same time, everyone understands. In other words, he's in the wrong. He stole from me. Now he wants to do tshuva. I'm very happy he wants to do tshuva. But in other words, if he had the item that he stole, he would have given it back to me, Shalma Yisrael. He doesn't have the item anymore. So now what the Chachamim afforded me to do is to make an oath in court. This is what he stole. This is how much he owes me. And now he wants to do tshuva. You're going to pay me back what I was nishma. This is what's called shvuas hanigzal. Good. Now with that stated, so Rav said, so here was our discussion. So I started a fire, and what did I do? I burned somebody's property, and now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not only am I chayv for the haystack, but that which was underneath. Oh, what was underneath? Funny enough, it was hidden. He doesn't know what was underneath. I know what was underneath. So what am I afforded now to do? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayv. I can now go to court, and I can make a shvua. This what was underneath. And now he's going to have to pay for that which was underneath. Meaning, Takanas Nigzal is going to be instituted in the case of Taman Beish, according to Rav Yehuda. Okay, good. Now again, we don't paskin like Rav Yehuda, but at least in principle, you understand, however, this would be a case, had we paskin like Rav Yehuda, we would institute Takanas Nigzal even in such a case. Now, what about Takanas Nigzal by Masr? Okay, a moser, here in Baba Kama, at the end of the Masechta, somewhere in the Kuf Yud Zayin, we'll get to it. So at the end of the Masechta, so we're going to be talking about a moser. So a moser is somebody who reports to the government, to the non-Jewish government, about possessions of mine, property of mine, and because of the information that he gave over to the government, a snitch. So because of the information he gave over to the government comes over and takes it from me. Okay. So, and he's a moser. And we'll talk later in the Masechta about what to do with a moser. Right? I kind of feel everyone here knows, but okay. So we'll get to it. Meanwhile, so now the moser wants to make amends. So he's going to have to pay me back. So are we going to do a Takanas Nigzal by moser? Good. That's, in other words, what was taken from me, I know. In other words, the government came into my house, took it from me. I know what was taken from me. The moser doesn't. Now we go to court, and can I make a shvua of what was taken from me so that the moser will reimburse me based on my claim? Yes or no? So the Gemara says, well, that gets a little bit tricky. Because is the moser a mazik? He's not a good person. Or if we want to say a little more chassidish, meaning he didn't do a good action. But that part's clear. But in other words, is he financially liable? This is a case of grama. In other words, he didn't go into my house and take my property. All he did, which wasn't a good thing, is he ratted to the government that I was holding money and I had funds and the government took based on his information. This is grama. So now, am I going to be able to be reimbursed, compensated by the moser? So the Gemara says, well, do we go to court for this? Can I go to court for this? So Aliba Daman Damar, Lo Dainin Dina Degarmi, Lo Tibailach, the mysterious name Lo Daininan. So if we don't do Garmi cases, now what is Garmi? We talked about it before. We'll talk about it again right now. And that is Garmi is somewhere in between Mazik biyadayim and grama. Grama is indirect. Mazik biyadayim is direct. What's garmi? Somewhere in between, right? In other words, it's not direct, but closer to direct than indirect. As we already discussed, it is tricky to go ahead and to try to put everything in its right category. Yeah. Okay. So if we don't do Garmi cases, remember some courts do and some courts don't judge Garmi cases. So if you don't do Garmi cases, so then there's nothing to talk about. Okay, so the Gemara says, great. So now, if we do Garmi cases, so is there going to be a Takanas Nigzal by a Moser? Yes or no? Now, on one hand, right, what are the two sides of the question? I'm just saying simple. And that is that on one hand, because of his actions, money was taken from me. On the other hand, he didn't actually take the money. In other words, he was instrumental in having the money taken from me, but he didn't take it. and maybe Takanas Negzel is only for the person who physically took the money away from me. Okay, Teku. The Gemara says we're going to leave this question unresolved. Don't know, says the Gemara, or just better stated, left it unresolved. Okay, as a point of interest over here, when the Gemara Teku's a monetary question, if you would have came to me and said to me, so new, so what do I do? So I would have said, you take a Teku on a monetary question. So in other words, everything stays where it's at. You want to see an interesting discussion over here? Tosos number 4. Asur Takanas Nigzal B'Masur Alo, Kasav Rav Alfas, Kigon Sheish Eidim, Shemasur V'Ibe Mamona V'Ein Yodim Kama, Teku. Okay, good. Right, the point number 1 of Tosos is that, in other words, I can prove that he was a Moser. Still, he doesn't know how much was taken from me. It's only based on my reporting. Okay, fine. Anyway. Even there, the Gemara Tekus. Now, V'chol Teku de Mamona L'Kula. Okay, so, Toso says that if there's a Teku on a monetary case, so we're going to be Mekel. Mekel over here just simply means status quo. Right? In other words, no, we're not going to exchange any money. I'm not going to give anything. However, V'shem Rav Haigon Kasav Sheyishba V'yitol Mechza She'chol Teku de Mamona Cholkin. Okay, Rav Haigon writes that a Teku on a monetary case, what do? Split it. Yeah, that's correct. And we don't pass like simchas, but that's correct. Rav Haigon is saying it la halacha. Okay, good.
But how much?
Tosos not happy with this Rav Haigon. I just told you I was mitzayin. I just simply pointed out to you that you want an interesting discussion. Here it is. Rav Haigon's position that on a teku on mamonos, so the money's going to get split. Tosos.
Split.
Huh?
We split the money.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Right? Okay, good. Okay, good. You heard me already say this. I've said this many times. What's a compromise? Where everyone walks away unhappy. That's the definition of a compromise. Okay, good. Right? If you see you made a compromise, and you see one person's happy, no, we didn't compromise. Okay. How Gavra. Okay, we're on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. A little more than halfway down on the Amud, right? 5 lines after they are wide. How gavra de batash bikaspasa de chavre ishajia ben nahara. Okay, so there was a person who kicked a kaspasa. Rashi describes the kaspasa over here as an arga shemanichim bo ksafim. So the chest that holds silver. In other words, right? I thought it was a silver chest, right? Rashi says it's a little safe, and normally what it does is it holds silver in it. And al samaria amar hachi havalei begava. Okay, so now. The owner says, "Well, you took my safe and you kicked it into the river. Obviously, it's now gone. So you're a mazik, and you're a mazik biyadayim. In this case, by the way, you're a mazik beregel. But okay, I'm just trying to be cute for a moment. So anyway, but in other words, you're actively destroyed my property. So obviously, you have to pay. Here's the problem: what was in the chest? He doesn't know, and so now my reporting. So yasav rav ashi v'kamayim beiki I gavna mai." So now, do I get to testify what was in, it's not testimony, do I get to report what was in the chest so that now, if he wants to do the right thing and reimburse me, so is he going to be subject to my claim? Amrile Ravina Ravacha, Bered Rav of Amrile, Ravacha Bered Rav of Ravashi, Lav Haina Masnithin, Denam Odim Chacham, Rav Yehuda, Ben Malik Esabir, Shemeshalam Komash Batsocha, Shekin Derech Bene Adam, Lanich Babatim. So good. So you know, when you burn your neighbor's house down, so you have to pay for the furnishings. Why? Because it's expected that furnishings are in there, like we discussed at the beginning of today's year. So over here, you know what you do with a safe? You put things inside of it. It is more than a fair expectation that there was something in the safe. So Amalei Idika Tanzuzin Hachinami Hacha Idika Tain Marganisa. So my Miman Chinshi Marganisa Bekaspas Olam. So look, the Gemara says like this: if the guy kicked my safe into the river, having now lost it, having to be liable for it, and my claim now is that you know what was in the safe? Money. Okay, good. That was expected. You're right. But if what I tell him is, you know what was in the safe? I had diamonds in the safe. Okay. So now, again, it's funny because that is kind of expected. But back in the day, the kaspasa was generally used for coins and not for jewelry. So now, with that in mind, so now when I make a claim that there was jewelry in there, so is that going to be believed? That's the question. So, and the Gemara take him. And the Gemara says, good, it's a good question. We're gonna leave that question unresolved. Amalei Rav Yehma leRav Ashi. So Tain Kasa de Kaspa Bibira Mai. So a guy burns my house down, and now I'm putting a claim in, and as part of my claim, I said that I have silver. Sorry. I have silver. I'm sorry, I had a silver cup. An expensive silver cup as part of my furnishings. So now, what are we going to do with that claim? Are we going to honor the claim? Yes or no? So I'm like Chazina Inish Amirhu. This is Kasta de Kaspa. In Ami Inish Mehemnahu de Mifkide Inchigabe. So Mishabe Vishako Ve'ilo Lav Kol Kamine. So the Gemara's response to that is very simple. In other words, we're going to use what's called common sense. Okay? The guy's wealthy. Okay. Then you have to honor, you have to honor his claim. The guy is reliable. When I say reliable, what do I mean? People all the time leave deposits by him to watch. In other words, he is an outstanding member. Outstanding member of the community where people have no problem trusting him. In fact, people do trust him. So now under those circumstances, either he's wealthy or he's trustworthy, right? So now he puts a claim in, you're going to have to honor the claim. And so over here, as we're rounding out to the end of this parak, we're not there yet, we still got a little bit more to go today. So the Gemara wants to know what's the difference between a gazlan and a chamsan. So the Gemara says, really, interesting. Now why the question over here is coming up at this point in the Gemara, it's an important question, obviously needs an explanation, but why here, why now? Meaning chamsan just comes out of left field. We haven't been talking about a chamsan. Anyway, so Amar Leih chamsan, Yaiv Dami, gazlan v'lo Yaiv Dami. So a really basic distinction, and that is that when you're a gazlan, so what do? I take the item from you. Thank you very much. Right? Oh, nice pen. I'll take that. Thank you. That's a gazlan. On the other hand, a chamsan, nice pen. I take it and I pay you for it. Okay. So Amar Leih Yaiv Dami chamsan karisle. So the Amar Ravuna talu v'zavin zvine zvine. So the Gemara says, okay, but wait one second. I take the pen, I pay for it. So that's a chamsan. The Gemara says that's a for sale. And Rav Huna taught us that a for sale is recognized as, in fact, a for sale. So lokasha de amarotzani, had amarotzani, had lo amarotzani. So the Gemara says the distinction is very clear. In Rav Huna's halacha of talui v'zavin, a for sale being a legitimate sale, so that's when ultimately... You pressure him to the point where he says, yes, okay. He finally concedes. In other words, he wasn't interested in selling the item, and you placed upon him tremendous pressure to do so, and eventually he concedes. And I take it, and I pay for it, and finally he says, Rotsani. Now, mind you, by the way, in other words, as much as we're saying that it's okay, meaning all we're saying is that the sale's okay. In other words, you could have been in violation of one of the Aseres HaDibros. In fact, you were in violation of one of the Aseres HaDibros. The item didn't belong to you, or the item belonged to somebody else. In other words, he wasn't a seller interested in selling in it. And so what you did is you violated Los Achmod. Okay. So, with the pressure, and now you took it, and now you paid for it, and he said, Rotsa Ani. So now no longer falls under the category of chamsan. On the other hand, if he never capitulates to the sale and you took it and you paid for it, that falls under the category of chamsan. Okay. Samach Beis, Amud Beis. Last Mishnah, last discussion over here of our perek. Again, sixth perek of Baba Kama. It really is the wrap-up of Nizkei Mammon, where my property does damage. And so one more mission regarding Eish. Gates, Shiyata Mitachas Apatish, Vihizik Chayav. So a spark flies off from the blacksmith. And it does damage, so you're going to be Chayav. So the blacksmith now is in his shop and he's working and he's hitting. And now if somebody walks into his shop, so we talked earlier about permission, not permission. But in other words, but the spark flew and it went outside of his shop and... caught fire to something, so now the blacksmith is going to be chayiv. Gamoshayaton Pishan Vavar Bershos Aram Venechnos Pishan Leso Chachanos Vidalko Benereshochen Vani Vihidlik Esabira Bal Gamal Chayav. Okay, now. Mishnah over here ends off with a case. We covered this case before, but this is the Mishnah. And that is that my camel is laden with flax on it. Flax is very flammable. And my camel is walking in the Rishos HaRabim. And what happens now is that the flax is not totally vertical on the back of the camel. It's like tilting off to the side. And camel brushes up against the store. And the flax that's on the back of the camel goes and encroaches into the store, and it catches fire. Wait, there's more. There's more. This is a drama. It's like a soap opera over here. And the camel continues to walk with burning flax on its back, and it goes ahead and it burns somebody else's property. So the owner of the camel is going to be chayef. Now, why? Because it was encroaching into the other person's property. Ah. On the other hand, but let's say the store owner was not careful about his fire, i.e., he brought his fire outside, now lighting the flax on the back of the camel. And now the camel goes ahead and continues walking, burning other people's property. Now the chanvani is going to be chayiv. Why? Because that was his irresponsibility. That was his fire that was started. And the camel is just simply he spread the fire, but that's it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ben Erchanan Kapater, with one notable exception, and when are you allowed to put a fire outside of your out of your store or out of your home? And that, of course, is Hanukkah. In other words, on Hanukkah, not only are you allowed to, it's a mitzvah. The Gemara is going to make this point. It's a mitzvah to do so. In other words, what you're supposed to do on Hanukkah is right outside the front door of your house. You're supposed to light a menorah, and so there at that point in time, once you're doing a mitzvah, so in including that is going to be a waiver of liability. In other words, if let's say now it starts a fire, so you're going to be potter. I'm Ravina Mishmei the Rav Shmami Nami the Rav Yehuda near Chanukah mitzvah lanicha besocha sardi yisak adach lamalame asara amai amar Rav Yehuda near Chanukah potter v'lei malei havalei lanuchei lemala migamo v'rochvo elalav shmami na mitzvah lanicha besocha sara. Okay, so now for a moment we're going to do a near Chanukah halacha, and that is that when you're lighting your near Chanukah, now nowadays bizmaninu, right, the vast majority of us light the Ner Chanukah inside our house. Okay, that is a not lengthy, but a discussion in terms of how we got here. But we're back in the Gemara. Bizman HaGemara, everybody lit outside. Now, where do you light? In front of your door. Okay, the Gemara and Shabbos goes over details in terms of right side, left side, okay, et cetera, et cetera. But meanwhile, all we need to know is height. So it's besoch asara. You should be lighting it 10 tefachim from the ground. Now, what Ravina does is that he's medayik. That's got to be correct. Why? Because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if the camel passes by and it catches fire to my near Chanukah, I'm going to be putter. Now, if the halach is that there's no requirement of height, i.e., I can light it above 10 tefachim. Do you know what I should have done? I should have put it up higher so that nobody would ever catch fire. By virtue of the fact that I am putter from all fire that started by it, that means that it's legislated that it must be lit within 10 tefachim of the ground. Amri lo. The B'nai HaYeshiva hear this, and the B'nai HaYeshiva say, we don't buy it. No. Truth of the matter is, maybe you could light it above 10 tefachim. Maybe you could. All right, so then why are you potter? In other words, shouldn't you be lighting it higher than the camel, higher than the rider? The B'nai Yeshiva simply say, who says? In other words, look, it's a mitzvah to light near Chanukah, and the Chachamim didn't make you crazy with this mitzvah. Oh, now every time I light it, I got to consider that it's got to be above the camel, above people. In other words, the Chachamim did not want us to make us crazy. In other words, they gave us a mitzvah, and they told us how to do the mitzvah, and keep it simple, and on top of that, look, the mitzvah includes fire, And if the fire goes out and damages other people's property, you're going to be putter. It's really that simple. Am Rav Kana Darush Rav Nasan Bar Minyume Mishmei the Rabbi Tanchon Ner Chanukah Sheinich Lamala Me'asara Me'esrim Ama Psula. So Uchemavoy. Okay, and oh, by the way, as long as we're talking about Ner Chanukah, and what where you can and cannot light from a height perspective, so we just deliberated whether it has to be besoch asara tfachim from the ground. Now the Gemara points out there is going to be a maximum, and that is you can't light it above 20 amos. Why? So lo shalta be'ene, the Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara be the first daf in Sukkah. In other words, above 20 amos, no one's going to be able to see it. The whole purpose of lighting is persume hanes, and the right Rashi right over here writes this, and so therefore you can't light it above 20 amos. Okay. Hadran alach hakones. And so is the conclusion of the sixth parak of the Masechta. Okay, quickly I'll point out that there are no Mishnayos about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Meaning, I think the magic number is seven, right? In other words, throughout Shas, seven references to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, but in other words, there's not a series of Mishnayos. There's not a Masechta of Mishnayos dedicated to discussing Chanukah. Okay, begs the question, why not? Numerous answers that are given, but anyway, I'm just highlighting right now. This is one of the seven. Okay, right? You want good trivia? Okay, now cite me the other six. If we flip the question and you ask me, can you cite me the other six? So, I can definitely. Okay, good. Right. So I can get to some of them, but in other words, I can't do all six. I should be able to, but I can't. Okay, anyway, all right, let's begin. Okay, we have a couple of minutes now, so let's begin the seventh parak of the Masechta. So we really are now at a new chapter. I mean that literally and figuratively here in Baba Kama. The first six parak in which we just concluded over here, 62 pages, 2 months of Daf Yomi. So we talked about Nezek. In other words, what happens if I go in and damage? What if my property damages? What are going to be my liabilities? How do we categorize damages? How do we categorize property? Okay, there obviously is, right? It's hard to summarize 2 months of Daf Yomi in a sentence, but in other words, Nezek. That's really what we have been discussing here in the first, two-thirds, not exactly, but six-tenths, right? 10 prakim of Baba Kama, first six prakim. So 6 out of 10 prakim is dealing with Nezek. Now, as we open up the seventh parak of the Masechta, so now we move on to a new chapter of the Masechta, and also we happen to be opening up a new chapter as well, and that is we're going to be talking here about Geneva and Gezela, right? When you steal. So, and what are going to be the responsibilities and liabilities of a Ganaf and a Gazan. Okay? And we'll be here on this topic for some time. We're going to be here for the seventh parak. Seventh parak, very popular parak in the yeshivas, right? When they're learning Baba Kama and they're deciding which parak to learn, so most of the time they land here on the seventh parak. As you're going to see, a couple of really difficult sugyas in the beginning of the parak, but good. Obviously, we're going to navigate and we're going to try our best. I'm going to definitely try my best in terms of giving clear presentation over here of this very famous parak. Also, the ninth parak as well, more regarding Zela. What about the eighth parak? Eighth parak is funny. Eighth parak, we go back to damages, but that's nizke haguf. That's bodily damage that we're going to be discussing in the eighth parak of the Masechta. So that's 7, 8, 9. And what does that leave us? It leaves us one more parak, the tenth parak. But okay, at this point in time, I am way ahead of ourselves right now. Let's at least start now. The seventh parak of the Masechta, Merubah. Meruba midas tashlum mekefal mi midas tashlum arba vechamisha shemidas tashlum mekefal nagas ben bedav sheish bar ruach chaim avim bedav sheim bar ruach chaim umidas tashlum arba vechamisha and nagas al b'shur v'se bavad shenemar ki gnavi shur osa utvacho omecharo. Okay, so the kefal payment versus the dal vehe payment. I know we know this, but obviously let's review. If I steal an item, geneva, which means that I don't forcibly take it away out of his hands, but stealth. I go into his house, take an item, and now I'm a ganav. I'm formally a ganav. The item that I'm holding is a stolen item. And now I want to do the right thing, so it's very simple. If I want to do the right thing, I go back to him and I return to him with an apology. Why not? Now, let's say I was caught with the item that I stole. So if you're caught with the item that you stole, not only do you have to obviously make reimbursement if you have the item, return it. And if you don't, then you're gonna pay its principal value. But on top of that, also you're going to pay what's called KFO. In other words, now you're gonna have to add another amount of the item's value at the kanas. It's called KFO. Okay. Now let's talk about compounded error. And that is that after having stolen the item, so not only do I not return the item, but I either shecht the item. Now, when I say item, by the way, here we're talking about an animal. I either shech the animal or I sell it. Under those circumstances, now, if after I shecht or I sell it, I am then caught, so now I'm going to be paying dalad vehei four or five times the amount of the item. Why four or five? Which one is it? Depends whether or not it's a shor or a seh. We'll talk more about that later. So over there, we're now talking about an extreme punitive penalty imposed by the Torah. And that's going to be dal vehei. Okay. So we have kefal and we have dal vehei. Okay, good. So now, are they similar? Of course they're similar. In other words, kefal is if I'm caught with a stolen item, dal vehei is not, before I get caught, I compound my gzela. So right, the Gemara is going to use such language later in the perek. In other words, dal vehei, in other words, not only did you steal, but boy, you really made a mess of yourself. So are they connected? Are they related? Obviously. Are there distinctions? That's what we're learning here in the first Mishnah of the seventh parak of Baba Kama, and that is, kefal is going to be for any item which is stolen, animate or inanimate, but dalad vehei is only going to be for animals, and specifically shor v'seh. Okay, that's point number one of the Mishnah. Next. Eina go nevachar ganav v'sham teshul mekefal v'lo atovich v'lo amochar achar ganav v'sham teshul me'arba v'chamisha. Now, ganav achar ganav. A person steals. Now, another person comes and steals from the thief. So now, that individual caught with the stolen item. So is he going to have to pay kefal? No. The drushes are coming up later in terms of why that should be. And the same thing is true regarding the tavach and the machar. The person who shechted the animal, the person who sold the animal. Right? Tovech v'lo, tovech v'lo machar, achra ganav. So he's also not going to be paying dal vehei. Dal vehei is only going to be on the primary ganav, not a secondary ganav. Again, the drushas are coming up later. Let's do one short discussion of the Gemara, opening up here the seventh parak. Midas tashol mikefal noagas bein beganav, I'm sorry, v'ilu. Midas tashol mikefal noagas bein beganav bein v'tonis tanis ganav, v'midas tashol mi'arba v'chamisha einu noagas ela beganav bovad lo ketani. Okay, what did the Mishnah not write? Meaning the Mishnah here is highlighting differences between kefal versus dal vehei. What's not in the Mishnah? So that's immediately what the Gemara picks up on. You know what's not in the Mishnah? Toin tanis ganav. Okay, now, toin tanis ganav, again, we've done that before. Let's do it. Let's go over it again. Here in the seventh paragraph, we're going to be doing a lot of toin tanis ganav. And that is that I was asked to watch an item of my friend's item, and then he comes over, and now, let's say I'm a shomer chinam. And now he comes over to me, says, no, it's time to return the item. Thank you so much for watching it. And I say, oh, look, the item was stolen from me. And I make a taina skeneva. I claim the item was stolen from me. I'm really sorry. Good. And now and I have to make a shvua. And now a week later, a month later, it doesn't matter how much time later. So now it's discovered the item was not stolen from me. What I did is that I made a false claim of geneva. What does the Torah treat me as? The Torah treats me like the ganav himself. And as a result of that, once I'm discovered that I made a false claim of geneva, I'm not only going to have to pay for the item, but I'm also going to have to pay kefal as well. A towing tainus ganav is going to be treated like a ganav. Ah. Now, what if after towing tainus ganav, then what do? I shech the item or I sell the item? Am I going to be paying dal vehei, yes or no? So you'll notice that in the Mishnah, it doesn't say. Do you know why it doesn't say? Ah, because there is no distinction to be made. When you're a towing tainus ganav, so if at that point in time you're discovered and caught, you're paying kefal. If after your towing tainus ganav you shech the animal or you sell the animal, you are in fact going to be paying dal vehei. Towing tainus ganav, we're not going to make a distinction between kefal and dal vehei. Iga da Amri. Now, let's just do version number two of this discussion. In version number two, Lema misayel Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Damer Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Torin Tanis Ganav, Bikadam Misham Tashlumi Kefal, Tavachamach Misham Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha. In the second version, we're just jumping to, you know, our Mishnah seems to be a wonderful raya for Rabbi Yochanan. And Mikatani Ein Bein Meruba Katani Tan V'Shayer. And the Gemara's response is, it's not a great raya. Because I know the Mishnah here is making distinctions. The Mishnah is not exhaustive. The Mishnah is not giving us every distinction. The Mishnah is giving us some distinctions. And so could very well be that there is going to be other distinctions. Maybe another distinction would be Toin Tanis Ganav. The Mishnah is not there giving us an exhaustive list. In fact, the Gemara says, I know it's not exhaustive because the Mishnah didn't say Ein Bein. Ein Bein is the language of the Mishnah when it wants to say this is the only difference. Didn't say that. Meruba, there are differences. Could be that there are other differences as well. And the Mishnah is not giving us an exhaustive list. Okay, good place to stop. In fact, we are going to stop over here. Okay, we finished up the sixth parak of the Masechta, in which the Ptur Tamun, hidden items, which I started a fire, went into someone else's property, and it burned, and it burned items under the pile of grain. So the halacha like the Chacham and the Chapater. And we had many discussions about whether I started the fire on my property, I went into my neighbor's property, I started the fire over there. We talked about Takanos Nigzal, when you're the victim of theft, or you're the victim, I know already. Or you're the victim of theft, or you're the victim of damage. Under those circumstances, is there going to be Takanos Nigzal? The answer is yes. What about if you're the victim of Mesira? Is there Takanas Nigzal? The Gemara says, good question. We left that one unresolved. Okay, and we finish up the sixth parak of the Masechta today, going over other basic halachas of Eish. Ner Chanukah, you're going to be waived from liability because you're doing the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Adkan, that ended the sixth parak. We started the seventh parak of the Masechta today. Kefal, Dala, Vehei.